Praise the Lord. Thank you, Craig and Patty. Appreciate that. And again, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most horrible death that a person could die, even the death of the cross. No accident that God says, even the death of the cross. He was obedient unto death, but the most horrible kind of death, the worst kind of death, the most gruesome kind of a death, even the death of the cross. Father, please bless the preaching today. Speak to our hearts and give us exactly what we need. I pray if there's anyone here who's not saved, that you'd save them today. I do pray that you'll speak to hearts of Christians. Help us to remember our Lord Jesus, who was obedient unto death, who gave himself that we might be saved. Certainly we think of the many, many, many who gave themselves so we could be free in America. But I pray especially that we'd remember our Lord who gave himself so we could be free of sin. Bless the preaching, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, on Memorial Day and the holiday time, we should be remembering those who fought for our freedom. That's originally how it was started and made a national holiday, to remember those that have served in the armed forces, those who fought to give us freedom. They gave their life for the freedom of our country. And I hope you do that. I hope you'll stop and think about that. Of course, many have taken Memorial Day now, and they go and think about others who have died and go to cemeteries all over the areas and different places. That's why so many travel. They'll go maybe where they're from and go to a little cemetery somewhere and lay down a flower, lay down a little wreath or something. And they're thinking about those who have died and gone before. But primarily it was started and established as a holiday to honor those who gave their lives so we could be free. I mean, you think about the fact that we're gathered here today, we're free to do that. Praise God. By the way, don't take that for granted. Because that day could change very quickly in America, and there are those that would like it to be changed, I guarantee. There are those that are fighting vigorously to change the freedom that we have to worship, the freedom we have to gather and preach, the freedom that I have behind this pulpit to preach the Word of God, because the Word of God bothers people.
That's right.
By the way, it bothered me till I got saved. And praise God. I hope if you're here today and you're not saved, it will bother you. And I hope you'll get saved and you'll realize God loves you and he died on a cross to pay for your sin. But when I think of Memorial Day, I think of John 15:13. I think of greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you think about those who died in the wars to protect our country and died literally so that we could be free. That verse ought to be one you think about. There is certainly a love there. There is a self-sacrificing kind of a love there for someone to give their life for their country. Certainly, though, we think about the Lord Jesus, who the title of the message this morning, who was obedient unto death. Obedient unto death. What an amazing thing. Even the death of the cross. One thing to die, but the death of the cross, to be beaten with a cat of nine tails till literally your skin is hanging from your body, to have your beard plucked from your face, literally ripped out of your face. I think skin, of course, going with it, and the crown of thorns, not some cute little crown, but thorns, long 3-inch thorns driven literally into the skull, into the skin, and brushing against and clinging to the skull. What a terrible, terrible death. And then to hang on a cross. where you can't breathe, where you literally you have to push up with your legs just to get air into your lungs. And unbelievable, even the death of the cross. Obedient unto death, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. I mean, on Memorial Day, certainly, think about those that loved ones and people you know and you knew that gave their life for our country. Think about those that you love that have gone on before, and several have lost loved ones here recently. And think about them, but don't miss an opportunity to remember the Lord Jesus. I mean, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. During one of Napoleon's battles, they were surrounded. Napoleon's army was literally surrounded by the enemy, and night was coming. And the order was given that the guards would be posted all around the army, because they had to be very aware of the enemy all around them. And certainly it looked like a bleak time, but the guards were posted, and it was said that if any of the guards were not doing their duty, they would have to die for not doing their duty. Literally, they had to stay awake, and they had to watch, and they had to guard everyone else so that the rest of the army could sleep. And it is said that at midnight, Napoleon rose from his sleep and started walking around, and he came upon one of the guards, and the guard was fast asleep. And they had had a battle that day, and they had fought most of the day. It was a very long battle, a very hard battle, and the man just could not keep his eyes open. And so that guard was fast asleep. Napoleon, it is said that Napoleon took the guard's gun, and literally he sat there and with his eyes open, and he took that man's position all the way until dawn. When the man awoke, he was shocked, and he looked up and he saw Napoleon, the leader, and he knew that he was now going to have to die, but he realized that it was morning. And Napoleon handed him his gun and simply said, "Be careful, sir," and walked away. And the whole camp heard about how Napoleon took that man's place in that night. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus took our place. That's what the cross is all about. He literally took my place. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. Jesus took my place when he died on the cross. I want to show you three things this morning. Again, going back to Philippians 2, obedient unto death. And we don't think in those terms very often. Most of us are not put in those situations. In thinking about this, I went and looked up some military battles. Of course, the Alamo. How many of you ever been to the Alamo? Several folks have, and it's an amazing thing to see. But there were people that obviously they had a choice. They could have left, but ultimately they had to be obedient unto death. Those brave Texans that stood and they fought against insurmountable odds. They didn't stand a chance. I believe it was 1,500 to 200 or 300, something like that. They didn't stand a chance, and they knew they were going to give their lives, but there was a cause to give their life for, and I'm telling you today, that's why Jesus died on the cross. It's because he loves us. That was the cause. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But I have 3 points I want to give you today. Number one is God's demand. God's demand. Now, if you listen to a lot of religious folks today, God demands absolutely nothing. I mean, honestly, our world of religion today has become a hodgepodge and a mess of, basically God is L-U-V, love, and he doesn't demand anything. I assure you, folks, God's demands are always the same as they've always been. God does have some demands that he puts on us. So many today are saying, well, you just need to live your own life, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. And God doesn't mind. They say, just have fun. Just do your thing. God will understand. I get so sick and tired hearing God will understand. That, listen to me, if God will understand, he wouldn't have had to send his son to die on a cross. If God would just understand everything that we do, he wouldn't have had to have Jesus nailed to an old rugged cross. No, my Bible says he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because God has some demands. There's some demands that God makes. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. You know, when God, our Creator created with a purpose. He didn't just randomly make people so they could do their own thing and have fun and just do whatever they want to do. By the way, you know what? I try to do right, and I think in most of the time, my wife and I, we were talking about this the other day. Why in the world are people struggling with doing right? I mean, by and large, we try to do right. We're not perfect. We know that. But we're having fun. I honestly, I resent the idea that you can't have fun as a Christian. You can't have fun and do right. I resent that. I mean, we're having a great time. I know a lot of Christians having a good time. I know some, though. Boy, you know, it's like this idea, you know, well, if I did all that, I'd be absolutely bored to death. I'm not. I'm busy to death. Anyway, I'm getting way off. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" You see that? That's God. God does have some demands, doesn't he? "What doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" There are some things God requires. Okay, we've got to get out of our mind this idea that we can just do our own thing. We cannot just do our own thing. All right? It's never been God's will. It never will be God's will. God has some requirements. What's it say? "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord." I didn't write it. God did. You will not hear that in probably 80% of the churches today. You will not hear anything like that. It's kind of do your own thing, have fun. If it feels good, do it. And you know, if it doesn't make you tingle, forget it. You know, if they're going to say don't, or if they say you can't, or then you ought to go somewhere else because you don't want to hear that kind of stuff. My Bible says, God said, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him, the Lord thy God. How? All my heart. Not part of it, with all my heart, all my soul. That's how I'm supposed to serve him. I said serve him. That means serve, that means all my heart, all my soul, everything I do, there should be the idea somehow I'm doing this, God, because I want to serve you. I mean, honestly, our job, even a secular job, should have the attitude, God, I'm your servant. I may work at Ford. I may work at GM. I may work at the store. But God, I'm your servant, and I'm serving you while I do this job. Boy, we're so far from that today. We're so far from that today. You know, our only goal from our jobs is make lots and lots of money so I can have whatever I want. Instead of, God, I need to have food on my plate. I need to have a place to sleep. And whatever else, God, I want to give it to you. I want to do everything I can for you. Now, it's not wrong to have a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. But that's our whole motivation. God says, your motivation ought to be fear me. Fear the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Love it. By the way, walking in his ways is not walking in our ways. It's walking in his ways. We want to rewrite the whole thing. We just want to do whatever we want to do because we have become very humanistic in our thinking. And then we become humanistic in our heart. Folks, we cannot have the attitude or the idea that we can just do whatever we want to do. God does have demands. He says, I require these things. Obviously, it was for Israel here, but it's for later for everybody. Fear the Lord thy God. What are we supposed to fear? His judgment. What are we supposed to fear? His backhand. Amen. You know, it's kind of, oh no, God is love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We don't even talk about that nowadays. Good night. I mean, nobody even wants to talk about that. Why? Well, we can't talk about chastening our kids. Yeah, I know. I know. And all the politically correct people, you know, time out. Time out. Hello? Boy, it gets quiet. You know, it just drives me nuts when it gets quiet on me. But, you know, fear the Lord thy God. He's going to chasten us. There's none of that anymore. None of that. It's kind of like, you know, God just, it doesn't bother God. It does bother God. You know what? When we sin, it bothers God. When we do wrong, it bothers God. When we don't obey God, it bothers him. It irritates him, and he wants to deal with it, and he does deal with it, just like a father that loves his children. And a father that lets his kids do whatever they want to do, he doesn't love his kids. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. God said it. Wow. None of that was in my notes. Scary, isn't it? It's the truth, though. And to walk in his ways and to love him and to serve him. All right, you say, I don't like Deuteronomy. All right, let's go to Micah. We'll go somewhere else. You don't like it. We'll go to Micah. Micah 6. Micah 6 and verse 8. Page 1428 in your super giant print King James Bible. Micah 6 and verse 8. Here it is again. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? What's that mean? He's demanding something. He's saying, this is what you are supposed to do. This is what I expect. God says, I expect this out of you. Okay? I expect this from you. What's that? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. You say, well, that's not as bad as Deuteronomy 10. Oh, really? To do justly. What's that? That's just simply to do right. Justice is balance. Okay? Balance it out. Okay? So in other words, I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do right. I'm supposed to balance out what God has done for me. God gives me air. God gives me food. God gives me water. God does all that for me. I'm not supposed to ignore God. I'm supposed to do right. Well, shouldn't I thank him for that? I mean, God's given me an opportunity. Here we are. We're in America, the greatest country in all the world. Here we are in America. When is the last time we actually thank God for being in America? It's been a long time, right? I mean, it has been a long time. And so we're supposed to do justly. So in other words, well, you know, I know what God says, but I want to do that. No, doing justly is to say, I know what God says, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Why? Because he's God. And it's right to do right. It's his standards. It's his commands. It's not whatever we come up with. It's not whatever, you know, makes us feel good. It's, okay, what does God say? And then there's the Ten Commandments. Ten? Oh, there's a whole lot more than ten. You ever, you know, you go soul winning, Brother Bell, you've done this before, and somebody says, I keep the Ten Commandments, and you ask them, really, what are they? I don't know how you keep them if you don't know them. I'll be honest with you, you have a tough time with the first one, let alone all ten. And then you get in the Bible and find out there's a whole lot more than that. And I don't understand, you know, how so many people could say, you know, God doesn't mind if you. Why did he tell us he minded? Why did he give us commandments if he didn't expect us to command? He's not like a lot of parents who say, you do this, Poindexter. And then Poindexter says, no. And they just let him go. Amen. You say you're meddling. Well, I have somebody else preaching tonight, so I got to get in tonight's message with it. The truth of the matter is, all through the Bible, and you'll find it, it's very, very clear. God says, obey, 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 obey. And obey, and obey, and obey. I just like doing that. He just tells us to obey over and over and over and over. And somehow we have this idea that God doesn't care. Are you kidding me? No, God makes very, very obvious demands on us. And here's what it all boils down to, and that is this. We all fail. Now, I'm not saying we ought to settle for that. Amen. In fact, I'm very frustrated when we get this attitude, well, I'll just settle for that. I don't think that's what God's looking for from us. And I know God's not looking for that from Berean Baptist Church, that we'll just settle for something up below what God is requiring. I think God wants us to try to raise ourselves up. He says, obey, 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 and we just kind of, well, you know what, look what they're doing. Don't we have to keep up with? No, that's going down with. We need to keep up with him. That should be our holy standard. And so the truth of the matter is, though, we fail. And so God's demand And certainly, you know, God's demand, it is, we're sinners, and it's pretty tough. And so now we come to number two, and that is man's disobedience. See, God gives his demand, and man disobeys. God says, obey. Man says, well, I want to do my own thing. We were talking about that. Well, I say we were talking. I was talking about in my Sunday school class how at Mount Sinai, when God gave the law, you know, the people trembled. Lightning and thunder and voices, and God's given his law to man. And God's saying, you are to obey this law. And they go, we will. We will. Yeah, for about a week, we will. And then we don't. Look at Romans 5, verse 12. I got to hurry. Romans 5, verse 12. Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Don't blame Adam. Don't blame Eve. All have sinned, every one of us. Verse 19, for is by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, there he is, shall many be made righteous. Honestly, salvation boils down to that right there. It really does. Because Jesus was obedient unto death. He came and he died for you and I. But he had to die because we disobeyed him. Don't make light of our sin. Don't make light of God's demand. Don't make light that God said, thus saith the Lord, I want you to obey me. Obey. Do what I say. Don't make light of that. That is exactly why Jesus died on a cross, because we couldn't obey. Don't you dare cheapen his death on the cross by saying, God doesn't tell me what to do. Don't cheapen the death on the cross by saying, I can do whatever I want to do. God understands. That is hog slop. It is an insult to God Almighty, whose Son died on the cross because we couldn't obey, because we didn't obey. A little boy said one time, he said, I wish I could mind God like my little dog minds me. You know what? We should try to mind God. That should be our top most important thing in the world. Instead of worrying about what everybody else says, we should try. We should say, you know what? I want to mind God. Do you know that everything obeys God? Except us. Everything obeys God. Go back to the book of Genesis. Creation. What's the Bible say? The Bible says, God said, let there be, and there was. Always. Let there be light, sun. Poof. You know, I've never really looked hard at the sun, but I don't think there's any gas lines going to it. I don't think it's plugged into anything. God just said, let there be, and there was. Boom! God's man said to the sun, stand thou still. And God said, stop! Now, there's argument over the sun standing still or the earth stopping. I'm not going to get into that argument. I'm just saying, it was obeyed. Matthew 8, verse 27, even the winds and seas obey him. You remember, raging storm out on the sea. Peace, be still. Clouds gone, wind stops, waves, everything's calm. At his voice. We have the audacity to say, you know, I think we can just kind of do our own thing. Phooey. Mark 1, verse 27, with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits. Remember the demons in the fella?
Legion.
Yeah, well, Legion, you're about to join the pigs. Huh? Yeah. I mean, everything obeys God. The birds. You know, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Talking to Elijah, his preacher. Amen. The birds, they come, went out to, and I don't think it was roadkill. Amen. I've eaten some meals that resembled, well, anyway, but not from my wife, but the "Hey, whale, go swallow the preacher over there," you know, and whoosh, there goes a whale. Right? The Bible didn't say the whale argued. The Bible didn't say, "Well, you know, I have other plans." No, nowhere. Doesn't say, the whale doesn't say, "You know, I'm going to a fish fry." I mean, a whale just goes and does what God says to do. We're the ones, right here, us, we're the ones. God says, "Do this." Oh, I know, we tremble. "Will you do it?" Oh, yeah, because we see the lightning and the thunder and the, you know, and all that. But then as soon as that's out of our memory and we want to feel good or whatever, all of a sudden we go back to the way we were. I don't know of anything more frustrating as a preacher. First of all, dealing with myself. Second of all, dealing with folks that want to go back. You know? And then want to listen to all the garbage that is spewed out of the sewer of hell in the name of religion today that says, "Hey, God doesn't care," when he does care. No, the truth is we fail. Everything obeys God except men. Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Disobedience. Man's disobedience. "And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Joshua 5:6, "The people were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord." Do we not read our Bibles? That's what happens when you disobey. Read about Ananias and Sapphira. And they were doing a very good thing. I mean, we just had the offering. And I wonder how many people did exactly what Ananias and Sapphira did. What are you talking about? But if there's no fear of the Lord. There's no concern about that. Oh, we can lie to God. We can steal from God. No big deal. I don't want to get on that. I'm just saying. You know, it's just come so natural. Don't let it be so natural. Because man's disobedience is a fact, but we should never accept it. And we should never just kind of say, "Yeah, I think I'll just live down here because it's just too hard. I get so tired of hearing, it's just too hard to do right." Hogwash. He died on a cross. He hung on a cross. Number one, we've seen God's demand. Number two, we've seen man's disobedience. Number three, we see Jesus' death. His death. Isaiah 53, look at it real quick. I read parts of it here just a second, but I've got time. We'll make time. Amen. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." His death on the cross. He took my sin on him. Of all the things that happened on that cross, even the death of the cross, he took my sin. He took your sin on him. "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because Doug Rogers' sin was on him, that's why. Your sin was on him. Oh yeah, the death, even. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe to take my sin, your sin, on him. Wow. To take the place of each and every one of us. By the way, to take the place of the guilty, you have to be innocent. "And he was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin." The perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Yeah. Jesus' death. Praise the Lord for Jesus' death. When's the last time you just kind of, I mean, honestly, I want you to think about World War I veterans. I want you to think about World War II veterans. I want you to think about folks, and we read it in the paper, people dying over in the Middle East now, the war on terrorism. And by the way, that war on terrorism found its way to us. And it's getting closer and closer every day. And people are dying so we can be free. And I want you to think about that. And I want you to thank God for that. But don't you dare. Let's not ever pass over the one who was obedient unto death. And he was obedient unto death because I wasn't obedient. He was obedient to die because I didn't obey. You didn't obey. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A little boy fell in a rushing river with a huge waterfall. A man had just gotten out of the Navy and he jumped in the water to try to rescue him. And 15 feet from the waterfall, he grabbed hold and he tried desperately to pull the boy to the shore, but the water was falling and 325 feet down to the rocks below. And he tried and tried and tried, but he failed and the little boy fell over the waterfall and was killed on the rocks below. People try all kinds of things to get to heaven. They're trying all kinds. I mean, there's people crawling on pavement today till their knees are bloody, crawling in Rome to kiss some statue or the toe of some gone saint or something like that. And they're trying this and trying that, but there's only one way to get to heaven. It's because one was obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It said in the American Revolution, a great battle was taking place, and Corporal and the messenger had a very important message, and they were trying to get it back to the headquarters. And during heavy fire, the messenger was killed, and the corporal was injured, and he had a wound in his side. And he took that message, and he didn't know how he would somehow get that message back. And he stuck that paper with the message on it in that wound, and so the enemy wouldn't see it. And he kept going and kept going, and finally, in the morning, he was found, and he was so weak he couldn't talk anymore. And with a smile, he just pointed to that wound. And of course, they reached in there and they pulled that message out of that wound. And the message was crucial for the victory the next day. The doctor that took care of him said he wouldn't have died from his wound. But since he stuck the paper in the wound, that's what killed him. Why? Because he was willing. Because the cause. Philippians 2:8 says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was willing to die for us. I just wonder, you know, he was willing to die for us. What are we willing to do for him? Number one, we've seen God's demand. Number two, we've seen man's disobedience. Number three, we see Jesus' death. And number four is simply our decision. Our decision. Our decision today, if you're here without Christ, you've never been saved, you have a decision to make. So I'm not making one. Well, you are making one by not making one. The Bible says in John 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you have an opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad it says that. I'm so glad it doesn't say, whosoever believeth on the name of the Son of God should not perish but have everlasting life as long as you're a good boy. I'm so glad that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved isn't what it says. It says you shall be saved. But you have to call on the Lord to save you. And you have to make that decision. If you're not saved today, I would encourage you to make the decision that you need to make. Understand, you've sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody does. We've all sinned. Look, he died on the cross for all of us. He didn't die for murderers, adulterers. He died for everybody. You say, I've never done anything that bad. You've sinned. I've sinned. He died to pay for that sin. Praise God. Years ago, the Mohammedans were laying siege to the capital of Spain, and King Alfonso was carefully defending the castle there and guarding it with his life. Somehow during one of the battles, his son was captured. And outside in full view of everyone in the castle, including King Alfonso, a gallows was erected. And the enemy, the Mohammedans, brought the son of Alfonso there to the gallows and said, "Alfonso, the city or your son? Surrender or we'll kill your son right here." The people all just kind of watched and wondered, what will the king do? But actually, the king made a very quick decision. And he said this, "Let my son die that my people may live." When Jesus died, he made it so that we could live. He saved others, the centurion said, but himself he could not save. And what an irony that word, that quote is, because had he saved himself, we would all be lost. But he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you're not saved today, I beg you to get saved. To make that one decision that you have to make so that you can go to heaven someday. And then, Christian, I challenge you this morning, as we think about those that we love that have died, let's stop and think about Jesus and the fact that he died. What are we doing with our salvation? What are we willing to do? It seems to me that we should all be willing to give our lives. Lay down our lives like he laid down his life. Napoleon's army was trapped. It was winter. Very, very cold, and they were surrounded. And there was a river they had to cross. There was no bridge. No bridge at all to cross. And the orders were given to somehow build a bridge as quickly as they could so that they could cross these waters to get away from the enemy that was coming. One by one, men went in. Some were swept away by the ice and the water, the current that was there. Others, who were so exhausted, drowned. Not one man, it is said, complained. After a while, the bridge had been built, but there were men that had to literally stand at every pillar to secure the bridge so that the rest of the army could cross. All of the men crossed, and those men just stood holding those pillars to keep them from shifting and falling in the water. Finally, the last man crossed, and the order was given for the men holding those pillars to get out. They stood motionless. The guards looked and they checked, and each one of them was frozen to death. Even Napoleon, it is said, shed a tear. Maybe they sacrificed because of their leader. I think about us. What would you sacrifice because of your leader? He gave himself for us. We owe it to the veterans of World War I. We owe it to the veterans of the Revolutionary War. We owe it to the veterans of World War II. We owe it to the veterans of Vietnam. We owe it to the veterans who have died recently. We owe it to anyone who's given us this opportunity to do what God says. Because we can. Amen? We owe it to them. I mean, honestly, we owe it to veterans to stand for the Word of God. We owe it. But more than anything else, we owe it to our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross. We owe it. You say, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm saved. And listen, what are you doing for God? We owe it to him. We owe it to him. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. When's the last time you told somebody how to be saved? When's the last time you just handed out a gospel tract? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, "Preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me." Raise your hand. You're not sure you're saved. Anyone? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all, pray for me. Pray for me. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I know that. But God has spoken to my heart as a Christian about something in my life. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. All over. Just slip it up. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Thank you. God bless you. Father, please bless our invitation now. I pray you'd help us to appreciate those who gave their lives so we could be in this country, so we could be free to have this service, so we could be free to run our buses, so we could be free to go soul winning. God, thank you so much for those. And I thank you so much for your son Jesus, who died on an old rugged cross to pay for my sin so I could be free. Free. Thank you. Help me to do what I can. Help me to do all that I can to obey you and to do right. And help us all to do that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.